from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's your process now to figure out, you know, here's the final?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
53.
Yeah, it's honestly one that's been ongoing, for a long time. And Adam and I spent a lot of time together going through the roster, digging in and finding it. And in fact, he was, watching a whole bunch today, a film. And that's this time of year, what goes on for the initial 53. What does that look like? Who's there? It's a puzzle, to put together. But we'll spend a bunch more time here over the next couple days. And just make sure we can find the right fit for the team.
Dan Quinn, after the game last night, Washington's preseason is over. We are now in less than 2-week countdown mode for the opener in Tampa on Sunday, September 8th. By the way, I don't know if you've noticed this, Denton. The line is down to 3. It was 4 at one point. Coming down a little bit, Tampa Bay right now, most shops, 3-point favorites over Washington in that opener. It's a 4:25 kick, part of the Fox doubleheader week one. It is not the primary doubleheader game. That would be the Dallas Cowboys at the Cleveland Browns. But if you live in the DMV and you don't have Sunday ticket, you'll be able to watch it. Actually, you don't get to watch your home team on Sunday ticket. I just got YouTube TV and the Sunday ticket for the first time for this upcoming season. Ben Standing is with us. He is every Monday and Friday at 12. I'm assuming you've never gotten Sunday ticket, have you? Because you're at games. It would be useless for you to have the Sunday ticket.
I haven't had it in years. I did many moons ago. But yes, I haven't had it for many years, because I'm never home. It always makes that 1 or 2 weekends where I am home on a Sunday kind of a bummer. I'm like, oh crap, I can't necessarily watch all the games here. But other than that, yeah, no reason.
But you've had the red zone, so that's that's fine.
Yeah. I work it out somehow. It's a great product. It was nothing like back in the day going to like a sports bar that had dozens of TVs and be able to watch everything at all times. Once you got that at home, it's, super fun.
Yeah, the sports bar thing for me, the I just was not a sports bar Sunday goer when my team was playing. That's all I was focused on, and I would prefer to be without, you know, dudes wearing game jerseys with their own name on the back of a jersey. But I always loved sports bars back in the day on a Thursday or Friday afternoon in March for the first round of the tournament. That was always great. Ben has... There it is. Ben has put up his Commanders 53-man roster projection along with what we may have learned from the preseason finale against New England last night. So let me ask you this. How much did your final projection, which I am going through right now, scrolling through, subscribe to The Athletic, people. Ben writes all the time, writes prolifically about this football team and does it very well. Ben's got a podcast, Last Man Standing, and you can follow him on X on Twitter, at Ben Standing. How much, is this your final? This has to be your final, right?
Yeah, I mean, in my head, I already know one thing I'll probably change, but yes, that's my, I'm not going to put up another one.
Okay, well, I want to hear what the one change would be. What I do want to know is how much changed based on last night.
I think absolutely none.
Okay.
Right, as far as we know, there was no injury, and you know, obviously the ending was kind of fun with Trace McSorley and Martavis Bryant, but you know, I don't think it was anything that was particularly notable in terms of the actual play, maybe a couple of guys who didn't play, what that might mean. But other than that, no, nothing changed for me.
All right. We're not going to sit here and go through Ben's entire 53 because I want you to subscribe to The Athletic for like a couple of bucks a month to read it. But I do want to ask you, for starters, which area of the team was the biggest challenge for you in nailing down the 53 and the area in which you're not so sure?
Well, honestly, there were quite a few because it's one of those deals where, like, you know, one thing leads into another. The receiver running back situation, though, was a bit of a challenge because I can, you know, a lot of people have them keeping Jeremy McNichols. I get it if you want to just another veteran in, you know, for Jaden Daniels in the backfield, but other than that, I just don't quite understand it. Like, he's a guy, like, he's, you can find him, that kind of player on the street, and I don't know that I would, you know, I think he could probably get to your practice squad and I wouldn't lose sleep losing him. But on the other hand, I had Michael Wiley on there, and you know, there's, you know, half the teams in the league have a guy like him who looked pretty good in preseason games as a running back and will surely clear waivers, so I don't know that they have to keep him either, even though I did. Then there's Kazmir Allen, who they're trying to, you know, find a way to put him on this roster, clearly as a returner out of the backfield. Like, this is like 2 years in a row where, like, the staff is trying to get it done, but the game results don't really show a lot of the reasoning why. That said, I still put him on over essentially Jamison Crowder, which is the move I'm like, wait a minute, that's kind of stupid. What am I doing? But like, I probably should go back to Crowder instead of Allen. But when the things were tied for me, I kind of leaned towards the youth rather than an older player who, you know, might just be here for the 1 year. So I think those spots were, you know, sort of in conjunction were tough. And then the defensive side we can get into, but you know, how many defensive linemen are they going to keep? Are they really keeping six edge rushers, i.e. Jamin Davis making the team, you know, Fedarian Mathis, Derek Forrest, I think are some other names that we're familiar with who have been around who, you know, might have a tough chance to make the team. So I think those are probably some of the tougher spots.
All right, let's go back to offense. So the one change in your head already you'd make is that Kaz Allen not making the team, Jamison Crowder making it?
I think so. So I asked Quinn yesterday, hey, you know, you have like 30-odd guys not play. Is it fair to say that they're all making the team? And he's like, well, there might be a couple injured guys, but yeah, you're probably on the right track. And Jamison Crowder was one of those guys, and yet somehow in my head I didn't do the math and say it didn't connect. And, you know, because like I said, I kind of already was thinking that they would come up with some other plan at punt returner. So, you know, and I think also like Crowder's always been a pretty solid receiver,
right.
You know, not a game breaker, but, you know, solid. And, you know, after trading Dotson, you know, solid is about what they have right now. So I think, yeah, I think that would be the way to go. Again, I think you could probably also cut Wiley just because he'll clear waivers. But, you know, at some point you can't go into the season with two running backs and Kazmir Allen. That's not going to work. So that's why I had him. But, yeah, I would probably swap Crowder back in for Allen at this point.
I guess there is a way both could make it with Kaz Allen, you know, handling kickoff returns with somebody like Byron Pringle and Crowder handling punt returns. But then what? Wiley doesn't make the team and Kaz Allen's the third running back and then perhaps another receiver doesn't make the team. I'm not doing the math in front of me. You've been focused in on it, but is there a way? Look, if Kaz Allen was given every opportunity to do something in these preseason games, and I'm sure they were hoping that he broke a big one last night so it would make the decision easier, right? But I don't even know why that would be, because it's not like the people they have on the field blocking or the people that are covering that you're going against are the people that he'll be out there with in week one against Tampa. But it seems to me that they were trying to justify their belief that he should be their punt returner and one of their two kickoff returners with a big result in preseason.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he didn't have that moment in a game that would be like, oh, here's why he should play. You know, I think it was the first preseason game that Wiley had a one or two pretty nice plays, and Dan Quinn made a comment like, hey, I've been kind of waiting for him to have, you know, a splash play like that, and now he saw it. And like I said, it just didn't quite happen with Allen. I think that, like, but just to broaden it out, I think the challenge here to me, this is sort of like trying to figure out what Adam Peters wanted to do at the draft once we got past the quarterback. You know, he addressed a lot of needs, but he didn't reach for need. He took, because they had so many, he just took essentially best player available all over the place. And for the most part, other than maybe Johnny Newton, like, he didn't take one where you're like, well, they're kind of feels like they're set there. This to me sort of feels like the same scenario, because we're not talking about a team that is like a real true contender, thus saying, well, they have to have this kind of player or this at this many positions. I think it's a lot of the same like the draft. They'll keep whomever they think makes the most sense for them long term. You know, like the 53 player roster, you know, a handful of guys don't even play every week. You know, forget injuries. You know, a lot of the guys are just on inactive. So it's not like you have to have all these people on your roster to play. It's a matter of what are you building? And, you know, like that. So I think that's the part that becomes a little bit more complicated. Maybe Jamison Crowder, as an example, beyond he's a solid player. You know, he's just a good guy in the locker room. He's a veteran. You know, he'll set a good tone and all that. And maybe they decide in the end they think that matters more than the hypothetical upside of another younger player. But again, the younger player is the longer term play. So I, as you can tell, I've talked myself into knots with some of these final calls. But ultimately, it's just hard to figure out where is Adam Peters going to go, because we can sense the obvious concerns. But he's not, again, I don't think he's thinking like week one, what do we have to have? I think he's thinking for the rest of the year and beyond, who can help us the most?
Yeah, there's also just the, you know, if Jamison Crowder's on the roster week one, his, you know, his contract's guaranteed for the entire year as a vested veteran.
Yeah.
So some of that'll, you know, play into some of these decisions as well. But I just want to ask you real quickly, if Kaz Allen, if they decide to cut him loose, who's the third running back? Is it Wiley?
Well, like I said, a lot of other people seem to think McNichols.
Right.
He has ties with Anthony Lynn from before, and that seems to be factoring into why some people would put him on. And, you know, look, Anthony Lynn's a former coach, head coach, and, you know, he's got a voice, and Adam Peters is not about, you know, his way or the highway. He's a collaborative thinker. So, sure, but like I said, I just, you know, I would have to believe that a guy like that, either him specifically would clear waivers or that they could get the equivalent of him to put on the practice squad. So, you know, but again, Wiley is looks good. I've been kind of impressed, but you know, as we know, every year in the preseason,
sure,
there are these guys who just stand
Marcus
out.
Mason,
and
boys and girls, Georgetown prep zone. Everybody thought he should make the team.
Right. So that's the rub here. When these guys are playing in the second half, especially against other players who are likely to get cut, you know, how do you assess that? I think the Athletics obviously have to have a third running back on the week one roster, but I'm intrigued by Wiley, his potential more than I'm intrigued by McNichols' experience.
Where was McNichols, Anthony Lynn together? When did that happen?
Oh, I don't know. Was it Detroit, maybe?
Okay. All right. Talking to Ben Standig, basically, if Crowder makes it, Kaz Allen doesn't, then you've got the six receivers. And I think because that's an area that everybody's really interested in, I said earlier, look, it's Terry, Diami, Zacchaeus, and McCaffrey. Those are the four givens. I think everybody would agree to that. And then you get into, are Pringle and Crowder a part of the kick and punt return group? And that probably dictates whether or not there's a six wide receivers or just a fifth. And I'm curious as to whether or not your guy Tremaine did enough, and whether or not Bryant's, you know, a possibility there, or even a Tinsley who actually played pretty well, but played, you know, not, you know, which meant that he wasn't obviously any better than on the bubble.
Yeah, so obviously we've talked a lot about Bryson Tremaine this summer, and I, you know, stand by the fact that he had a really good training camp. But now that we're here towards the end and things have changed, I think Byron Pringle's ability to on kicks, as well as giving them another outside receiver threat, I feel like that's kind of pushed him up. And then, we just talked about the Crowder situation. So, I think ultimately I've got Tremaine and Bryant to the practice squad. You know, in Bryant's case, he's not going to get claimed off of waivers as a vet. So they just have to, if he agrees to, you know, hey, we're going to put you on the practice squad unless somebody offers you a gig, then that's probably set there, the ones that, you know, gave him this opportunity, right? So I would imagine that loyalty to some degree goes a long way. But, you know, whatever position we're talking about here, I think the key to remember is this is the initial 53, and it might be the second 53 by Wednesday when the waiver claims happen, because Washington has the second waiver claim. They'll be positioned to get almost any single player that they want, and you have to imagine that Adam Peters is going to not just make one move, he might make multiple moves, whether that is for another receiver, an offensive lineman, a cornerback, or anything. Running back could be literally anything, and so that's why another thing here is like, what are we even really talking about with some of the last two or three spots? These are some guys that, you know, may just get cut or, you know, move to the practice squad anyway. So, you know, that's another part of this, trying to figure out, like, how, you know, who can they, who won't get claimed, which of the vets can they say, hey, you know, we want to bring you back, but yada, yada, maybe practice squad. And they might say, well, that's not for me. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. This is the initial 53. It is definitely not even the only 53 within 24 hours after we know what it is.
Yeah, and then we have the week one vested veteran thing, which means week two, there's more opportunities there as well. We're talking to Ben Standig. So Jamin Davis played last night, but you believe, I believe it too, and I think Quinn kind of said it at the end, I think, he's going to be on the final 53-man roster. You agree with that, right?
I do. I mean, you know, I've talked about my reservations with this because early in camp, he really was, you know, not flashing much at all as a pass rusher coming off the edge. And, you know, again, not a special teams guy. So, you know, how does that work? They've already got a bunch of other edge rushers, but, you know, he has improved in practices and in a little bit of games as a defensive end, granted going up against deep backups, but still. And, you know, the way Dan Quinn talked about it yesterday, he said that he mentioned the progress. He mentioned that, like, I don't know the exact phrase, but he basically said, we'll use him as both a linebacker
yeah.
and an edge rusher, and that was a, you know, the syntax.
I read this earlier and played it. Even with some changing of positions, we'll flex him some at backer as well, but he's really starting to come on as a defensive end. We'll flex him some at backer as well as future tense. So I think that tells you that, you know, he can't flex him at backer as well if he's not on the roster.
Right. Well, and again, you know, the fact that Jordan McGee is going to miss at least some time, you know, must be a consideration. You know, that this will give them a guy that can play both spots. And Quinn also said that he's been, you know, they've been using Jamin now on kick returns. I wasn't paying too much close attention to that. So the fact that he is saying that, again, goes to my point that they hadn't been using him there. But if they are trying to figure this out, then it's another, you know, another example of, hey, we, you know, how do we keep this guy on this team? We can't, you know,
kick coverage,
he's not going to play regular snaps. We've got to find some way to justify it.
Yeah, kick coverage, not returns.
He's coverage, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking to Ben Standig, coming up with six safeties and six corners couldn't have been easy.
The safety wasn't a huge issue for me, but you know, the player I have on the outside is Derek Forrest, and I think that's obviously a tough one. But I do think, you know, from what I've heard over the last week or so, you know, they've let teams know about certain positions where they think they've got some extra depth. One was receiver, and that was, I heard that before they traded Jahan. And safety is another spot, along with defensive tackle, where they've said some more things to teams. So, you look, I mean, Forrest can play. I, you know, if Tyler Owens doesn't emerge, if they don't draft Dominic Hampton, you know, I think Forrest is, you know, probably comfortably on the team. But at some point, you know, how do you keep everybody? You know, we can, again, we can keep playing. I can keep.
So are you saying that you think that there would be some trade value in a guy like Derek Forrest or Phil Mathis? When you said D tackles, I'm assuming Phil Mathis.
Yeah, yes, but again, we're talking like, you know.
Yeah.
That player condition. In a seventh for a sixth or something along those lines. Nothing, right. You know, nothing that sniffs Jahan, what they got for Jahan. But yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Derek Forrest can play. It's just, you know, again, new team. They didn't draft him. They've got other guys. Tyler Owens has certainly emerged. I think he's making it. I mean, Hampton, whether you want to call him a safety or a linebacker, he's getting in there. You know, Jeremy Reeves continues to be who Jeremy Reeves is, and Dan Quinn has cited, you know, how impressed he's been with him at times. Percy Butler, I guess, would be the guy that, like, well, the head-to-head comparison, but I just think Butler has shown a bit more versatility and has been you know, higher up in the practice rotation more consistently than Forrest, so I kind of went with him over Forrest. But, you know, again, this is where the whole roster composition comes into play. You can just decide, well, screw it. We don't need to worry about the third day. We can always elevate a Michael Wiley from the practice squad on game before they can go from there. So, this is where the roster manipulation comes into play. But straight up, I just think that the Forrest might be in trouble.
Do you think Castro Fields has a shade well last year? And I think he's actually played well, and the reason I bring him up more than, and I brought him up a few times, is that energy level and the enthusiasm, the motor is so obvious in watching him play, and I know that they really have emphasized that in the players they want to be on the final roster. Does he have a shot?
Yeah, he was my final cornerback cut. I kept a newsium over him largely because they gave Anusium that significant bonus, you know, to sign as an undrafted free agent. I don't know that he's, like, blown me away this summer, but, you know, for whatever the reasons they liked him in the first place, I don't imagine that they've, like, faded. The irony here on some level is, you know, Adam Peters and the 49ers drafted Castro Fields, and then they released him as a right before the season started. And he then landed here. So, no, he definitely has a chance. And, you know, for the reasons that you just outlined, that he plays with a lot of energy. And needless to say, that's been a buzzword for Quinn and the rest in terms of what they're looking for this year. So, Yeah. I mean, look, here's the other reality of this, right? I mean, typically for any roster, the bottom handful of players are not going to be, you know, some overly interesting the relative to, like, you know, wins and losses. The rub here is that even a lot of the guys in the top 30 or 40 aren't that, there's questions about it in some cases. So the difference between guys who, you know, we're probably feeling pretty decent about and guys who are going to be on the wrong side of the bubble is not necessarily that steep. You know, I mean, Noah Igbinoghi, yeah. I have him on the 53, but, you know, I don't think he played particularly, you know, he was on the wrong end of some plays last night, and, you know, he's bounced around the league, but he was with Dallas last year. I just think he gives them some more versatility in the secondary, and he can also help as a returner, so I kind of have him in, but yeah, it wouldn't, like, floor me if they said, nah, we're going to go with Castro Fields and Anunziam instead.
All right, last two. Quarterbacks three, you think Driscoll makes this team, along with Mariota and Daniels?
Well, they know more than I do about what's going on with Mariota and this injury that's kept them out of the last two preseason games. I mean, Dan Quinn constantly says that they're just being cautious with all these guys who've missed time. And maybe that's it. I mean, maybe he practices this week and there's nothing to see. But I don't know. Until I see it, it's hard for me to just assume he'll be ready. And also, you know, I'm not saying Jeff Driscoll is a guy you want necessarily out there in a big spot, but if Washington is down 10 points in the game and somehow for whatever reason they have to go to the bench, I think Driscoll's athleticism and downfield passing, his willingness to throw down the field, I think has been more attractive than what we've seen out of Mariota, which is a lot of holding the ball and then running. Mariota is probably the safer option, and I think he's making the team, if for no other reason, because they like him as a mentor for Jaden, and obviously they gave him some decent money. But, the other thing is, like, the whole reason why the NFL changed the rule about how teams can use a third quarterback is because of what happened to Peters' 49ers in the NFC Championship game. And, I just don't know. I imagine that sort of scarred him a little bit. The only question is, would you keep Driscoll or would you keep Hartman? The fact that Hartman, whatever promising he is, he was an undrafted free agent quarterback. That says something. And he basically didn't play this summer because of the shoulder injury. So I can't believe that a team is going to pick him up. Therefore, probably can release him, get him to the practice squad, and go from there.
Did I hear this correctly the other day that Dan Quinn said, in terms of the final cuts, the final call is with Adam Peters?
Yes. I mean, that was my I asked him that. That was my assumption all along, but now that we're here, I just wanted to sort of double click on that. You know, we've been so used to that, what happened the last 4 years with Ron Rivera wearing both hats, that we sort of forget sometimes what the real hierarchy is, and the GM typically is the guy who has that. But since both of these guys were new, let's double check. But yeah, Quinn.
The GM, Quinn. You're saying the GM typically has the final say on who's on the 53?
The GM?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the coach, right? I mean, if it's, Andy Reid,
kind of
maybe not.
The
but
GM puts the roster together and then puts them all, out there for the coach to make kind of the final decisions on the 53. I could be way off.
I mean, it's, every situation can be different, but it's like in the movie Moneyball, the basic point between the Brad Pitt character as Billy Bean, the GM, and the Philip Seymour Hoffman character as the manager, Art Howe, was Billy Bean set the roster and Art Howe didn't use it the way he wanted him to. So I think that's generally how it works. Again,
they were trying. They were trying something much different than Art Howe could even understand.
Sure, but I'm just saying, like, I think, like, when Pete Carroll and John Schneider, I think Pete Carroll had a lot of say because he's Pete Carroll, but John Schneider, but now that Pete Carroll's out, John Schneider's got final say over Mike McDonald. So yeah, I think typically the coach, the GM is going to have the say. But again, it all, in 5 years,
collaborative. Lastly, real quickly, Cade York. I mean, nothing was long. They were both chip shots, 33 and 34 yards. But I guess they have a guy that will make the 53 unless there's some other plan based on what they're hearing in terms of the players that'll be released.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly helped his cause last night with that. Like with everything else, they'll look at the waivers and see what could be had. But the fact that he's a promising player at that position, and you know, based on what he's given them, especially compared to what they've had in here the last month, I would imagine they see this through. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right, great job, thanks, appreciate it.
Yeah, man, see ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. This segment was sponsored by Floor and Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor and Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor and Decor. We'll do some Denton news when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.